morning. It is great to see you here on this lovely day. I am Catherine Flux Price. I am one of the pastors of Trinity. And if you are here for the first time or you're here all the time, we want to welcome you this morning. I hope that at some point during the service you will take a moment to fill out the connection card. It is a card in your bulletin, and you can fill that out by hand, or you can use the Trinity app, which you can get at the App Store on your phone, and you can sign in there as well. So we sure are glad you're here, and thanks for letting us know that you're here and sharing as much information as you are comfortable providing. I want to share with you, highlight a couple of things that are coming up in the next week or 10 days. First of all, this Wednesday evening at 6:35, we invite you to be here as we celebrate the ministries of Lenora Russo, our associate pastor, and also Ted Brewster, our director of missions. The two of them will be leaving us very soon, actually on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, and we want you to be here to celebrate their ministries. And so we'll have a service here. Lenora will be preaching and showing some slides about international missions and the trips that we have taken during Ted's tenure. It'll be a wonderful service with reception to follow. So please come on Wednesday night at 6:35. Also, next Sunday, we will be celebrating as a church the 150th anniversary of the United Methodist Women. Not just Trinity's United Methodist Women, not Trinity's United Methodist Women, but the United Methodist Women. 150 years of really powerful ministry. And Reverend Jean Edwards, our district superintendent, will be here and will be preaching. It will be a Sunday that you won't want to miss, so I hope you'll make an extra effort to be here this coming a week from today. And then finally, a week from Wednesday, March the 6th is Ash Wednesday, and we'll have a service in the round here in the worship center at 7 o'clock, at 6:35 again. And I hope you'll be here for that service as we begin the season of Lent in the time of action and repentance. So Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, we hope you'll be with us for all these special things coming up. You know, Trinity, we hope that everyone finds Trinity to be a place that they can call home and a place where they can find their home in Christ. And so I say to you this morning, welcome home. Let me invite you to stand up and greet someone near you. Please introduce yourself if you don't know them. Don't be afraid to ask somebody's name.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin our worship service together by singing our opening hymn.
Join me in prayer. Gracious God, Almighty God, as we lift up both our voices and our hearts in praise to you, may you pour out your Spirit on us, that we may change our bent towards turning away from you, towards turning to you, running to you with everything that you have, and being changed by your grace, that we may go out as agents of change in this world. Will you join me in affirming our faith with the words that you see before you on this day? I believe, we believe in one God, creator and sustainer of all things, father of all nations, the source of all goodness and beauty, all truth and love. We believe in Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, our teacher, example, and redeemer, the savior of the world. God's presence with us for guidance, for comfort, and for strength. We believe in the forgiveness of sins, and the life of love and prayer, and in grace equal to every need. We believe in the Word of God contained in the Old and New Testament as a sufficient rule both of faith and of practice. We believe in the Church, those who are united in the living Lord, for the purpose of worship and service. We believe in the reign of God as the divine will realized in human society and in the family of God, where we are all brothers and sisters. We believe in the final triumph of righteousness and in the life everlasting. Amen. Our mission box is none other than Faith Mission, the ministry of Trinity United Methodist Church in Greenville. And we have a video this morning to help share with you what's going on over at Faith Mission. And we encourage you to consider giving generously towards your effort that is happening now. And you can do that at any of the wooden mission boxes. Let's take a look at the video.
When I first came to Faith Mission, it was very hard for me because I was in a shell. It was just me and my husband, and I kept it really close. I didn't step out of it. And being with Faith Mission challenged me to learn. It challenged me to do more. The things that we do with the kids in the neighborhood is awesome. You can see the kids being connected and having somewhere to go that's safe, you know, and because it means a lot to me to give back, because I see myself as one of those kids growing up, and I didn't have a connection, so it gives me this that I want to give back. I think the leadership team is like a family, like my extended family. We've been together about 5 years. We pray for each other. We love on each other. We spend time together, even with family. I stay and I'm grounded with Faith Mission because it's a part of me. I come from this neighborhood. I was one of those kids, and I have a strong urge to help people. And I want to see other kids have help and a connection if they need it. And that's why I stay helping volunteers and whatever else I can do. I'm a member of Bartley United Methodist Church. And to me, that's a sister of Trinity Church and from Trinity Faith Mission. So I feel like we all bonded together, you know. And so it gives me an opportunity to go from my church to Faith Mission and help out and to do some volunteer work, to be connected, you know. And so we can bring together as one umbrella all the churches together. My prayer for Faith Mission is big. I would like to see it grow and last forever. Today's mission box will support Faith Mission including the hospitality team that I lead.
As we move into a time of prayer, I want to make you aware of a couple of things. One, Billy Starnell passed away not quite 2 weeks ago, and her service would not be here in town, but she would be out of town. So she would be buried with her husband, but she was an active and faithful part of Trinity when we were in the United for many years. Also, I invite you to continue to remember Deb Judd's family in your prayers. Her memorial service will be this Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's February 28th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Thank you for remembering those two families in your prayers, as well as those who are listening on the screen this morning and who need our special prayers as they struggle with illness and other things. I also invite you to pray for our general conference today. Our general conference began yesterday with a time of prayer, and they'll begin with worship and then the actual work of the conference today, tomorrow, and Tuesday. And I invite you to be in prayer for all those who are there, for all of the churches that will be affected by the decisions that are made, for all the individual lives who will be affected excuse me, by that as well. So please be in prayer for our general conference during this time. So let's bow our heads and spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll begin and lead us. God, our help, our refuge, and our God. We place our trust and confidence in your abiding presence. We look to you especially in the uncertainties of life. For all those times when we feel threatened or off kilter. This morning we carry to you the burdens of our families. We also harbor concerns about our United Methodist Church and what it means for us and those we love as decisions are made this week. We pray for all those gathered in St. Louis that they keep your wisdom. Move through and among them with the gentle wind of the Holy Spirit. We trust in you. The future in your hands. As you work for good, you desire to work through us as well. And we confess those places in our hearts where we have refused you entrance. People we have refused to love. Habits we never get around to changing. Good things we have left undone. And ways in which we have hurt you, ourselves, and others. Come to us in the light of Christ. Shine on those places we have hidden from you. Show us new ways to live. Sweep clean rooms of our hearts, that Christ may find a home among us now and forever. Hear us now as
travel with us each day, guiding us and strengthening us for what lies ahead. The unknown future concerns us, especially when there are so many evil influences at work in the world. Yet despite these fears, you give us confidence that we will never walk alone. You have promised to lead us into the joy of being with you forever, always by our side, leading us into life in all its fullness. Thank you for your amazing love. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. God, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we give you thanks for the rich bounty in our lives. We are especially grateful for your presence with us each and every day. We pray now that you will bless these offerings as we give back a portion, give back to you a portion of all that you have given to us. Bless these offerings and use them for the work of your church, that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen.
temptation and evil are the subject matters of this part of the prayer and therefore our subject matter for today. And when we turn to the book of Psalms, we find a number of examples where a voice is calling out to God for deliverance or for aid with these precise subjects. So I want to read for us one of those Psalms today and invite you to follow along. It's Psalm 16. And it goes like this. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble, in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my life. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. Bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. Or in some translations that word heart is translated as conscience. My conscience instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this sermon. They might carry a word from you into our hearts and minds. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. A question that this part of the Lord's Prayer that we look at today raises is the question, where do you seek refuge? You know, people go a lot of different places looking for refuge when times are hard. When it feels like we are in crisis or we are struggling or there is darkness all around or when we just don't feel like dealing with whatever it is that's right in front of us, we go a lot of different places looking for refuge. Sometimes people choose to go into their work, filling up all of their waking hours with the busyness of work to seek some sort of refuge. Sometimes it is entertainment. Perhaps that can at least distract us from the realities that are before us, and so we seek refuge there. Or at times it may be some addiction, alcohol or drugs or some other, that is a way of numbing the pain that exists in our lives at a particular moment. Sometimes it's friendships, hoping that maybe if we can just be well-liked enough by some people that we spend time with, then everything will feel okay and we'll find some comfort and refuge there. Where do you seek refuge? The psalmist today affirms for us that God is the only reliable refuge. God is the source of all goodness, we hear in this psalm. The one who sets the boundary lines in the right places. The one in whom there is security. The one in whom there is fullness of joy. And then when we get to the Gospels, we hear Jesus affirming all of these same traits about who God is as well. And so, not surprisingly then, in this prayer, he urges us to seek God as refuge. leading us down a dangerous or a tricky path, as if God is trying to catch us or trick us into doing something that we shouldn't. Is God out to get us in this passage that says, lead us not into temptation? Are we asking God, please, not to do that? No, for remember that both the psalmist and Jesus in his own ministry, and even our affirmation of faith that we recited together this morning, all affirm that God is the source of all goodness. God is not out to trick us or to get us. So perhaps the New Living Translation offers us a helpful way to hear this particular part of the prayer. Translated there, we read it like this. God, do not let us yield to temptation. Do not let us yield to temptation. And in that translation, what we see is that this part of the Lord's Prayer is a recognition that temptations will come. And temptation comes to us in many different forms. Sometimes the temptation to be selfish or greedy. At times, the temptation to elevate our own status over another brother or sister. To seek power for the wrong reasons. To take what is not ours. To strike back at another who has hurt us. As we look at Jesus' own life and experience, we see that temptation certainly came Jesus' way across his ministry, most particularly in those days that he spent in the wilderness and at the end when Satan comes to tempt him. Each of our own experiences just from this past week also should lend itself to us recognizing that they certainly do come our way. And all of these types of temptations will likely be experienced over the next few days by delegates who are gathering in St. Louis to represent our church from across the world to make decisions at that conference that would be selfish or greedy, to elevate one's own position over another brother or sister, to seek power for the wrong reasons, to take what is not theirs, and to strike back at someone else who has hurt them. All of those risks and temptations will be present in the next few days in St. Louis. To say, lead us not into temptation, is to know that temptation does come, and to seek God's aid in facing it. To ask for God's help in setting the boundary line so that they will be good and pleasant for us. Many of you know that I returned just a little over a week ago from some time in Rwanda, visiting and encountering Zoe Ministries and what is happening there through that ministry with orphans across the country. One of the things that was striking for me in hearing the stories of the children are the ways in which they are resisting the temptation to treat others as they have been treated in their past. As we heard the stories, and you'll see a couple of photos of some of the children that we met, we heard stories from kids who had encountered great harm at the hands of others, and who, because they were orphans, simply because they were orphans, for who they were, not for anything that they had done, they were treated with hostility, and they were ostracized by their community as if there was something wrong with them. And yet, as these children come out of those circumstances, and as Zoe helps them lift themselves up into a new life, and as they begin to run small businesses in their communities, what we heard time and time again was not a desire for revenge, but a desire to seek a new way. And these young people are employing some of the very people who used to speak ill of them in their communities. Not returning harm for harm, but resisting that temptation one side is that aspect that says, protect us, God, from the evil that might be done to us. And once again, there were some pretty powerful and even disturbing stories that we heard from our Zoe children while I was there for those days. Many of them have survived some terrible and awful evils. The young women that you see in this photo both encountered evil at the hands of men who they thought were trying to help them when they were orphans by helping them secure food for themselves as they were young girls. But as they began to mature and as their bodies began to mature, these men took advantage of these girls. And then when the girls became pregnant, the men left them and abandoned them in their community. And then there was the story that we heard from a young man who is known now in his community as Dr. Boss. You'll see a photo of him here as well. Dr. Boss was exploited, essentially treated like a slave in a hatchery in the capital city of Kigali. And there he was, for the work that he did every day, day after day, all day long, he was given a piece of bread at the end of the day, just for survival. And yet now what we hear and what we heard from these young people were stories of coming up from the ashes, of not only surviving the evil that had been inflicted on them, but now thriving in the aftermath of it. These were the encouraging stories for us and ones that helped us hold on to hope, because there were other children that we met on our last day there who are still in the throes of facing evil. And so the prayer, deliver us from evil, deliver them from evil, is very real right now, because the clear and present danger of evil is there for them on a daily basis, that they will be mistreated, that they will be abused by someone else in their community. Protecting us from the evil that might be done to us is the first side of this phrase from the prayer, deliver us from evil. But then there is the other side of that phrase. Deliver us from evil is also a plea to keep us from participating in evil ourselves. This is the side that is harder for us to face honestly sometimes, but Paul knew quite well the potential for evil that existed within himself and within each of us. In the 7th chapter of Romans, we hear him say, you know, I want to do good, but I don't do the good that I want to do, but instead I do the evil I don't want to do. So I find that as a rule, when I want to do what is good, evil is also right there with me. Saying this part of the prayer honestly requires an acknowledgement that within each of us there is the capacity for doing evil. Just this week, high-profile famous names leapt off the front pages of our newspapers, like Kelly and Kraft and Smollett, that indicate all good or for evil, which is why we so desperately need to pray this prayer, so that we might seek God's help in choosing the right path. You know, not all cuckoos chose the path of evil during that period of weeks in Rwanda. There were some who courageously resisted the temptation to participate in evil. Some who, at great risk of harm to themselves, chose to help their neighbors, even though they were Tutsis. One such story is the one of a man by the name of Frodwald Karabije. Frodwald, a number of weeks before the genocide, had built himself a trench because the message that he was hearing from fellow Hutus in power and in leadership was that the Tutsis were going to come and attack them. And so he wanted to have a place where he could hide and protect himself when that happened. And then as the massacre began to unfold, what he realized was the exact opposite of what he had been told was happening. It was not his people that were being persecuted. His people were the persecutors. And he had neighbors who were of the other tribe, the Tutsis, who were at great risk. And so Frodwald took as many of them as he could and hid them in the trench that he had built for himself so that they would have a safe passage until the other side of the atrocities. 3 weeks ago, we started this series on the Lord's Prayer with a reminder that at the beginning of the prayer, we are invited and called to put first things first.
have done all of this. And so pour out your Holy Spirit on each and every one. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this place and on this place. And it will be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ that we use us and us by the Holy Spirit. By your Spirit. And one will be in ministry to all the world. And so you come again. Victory, we see loving us and our journeys as we press hard and fast after you with everything that we have. And so I have the pleasure and joy of being with them again around.